Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ. We're glad you're here. To those who are with me and those who are online as well. As we're trying to get situated, I'm starting a little early. Last week, I was shortened my sermon because I thought it would be my Christmas gift, but we moved the luncheon because of the snow, and then we had to wait to eat. And if we were thinking, we should have done Christmas carols while we were waiting to eat. So now we have all the song sheets we can use next time. So we'll be ready. I'm stalling because I saw Chuck coming in. Let him get into place. Okay. As you can see, we're in that time between Christmas and Lent. And Lent starts on February the 18th. So there aren't a lot of things. There's announcements about some of the poinsettias that are still left from the Christmas, and we still thank people who had donated those and decorated the church while we were celebrating Advent and Christmas. It works in strange ways. These flowers here came after the reception we had for Elizabeth and John yesterday, the funeral. John doesn't know they're here yet, but they were delivered, and when Ralph came in yesterday, if you come early, Ralph is the donut deliverer. He makes sure you have donuts. And they were sitting outside, so we're going to put them here, and we'll make sure John gets those sometime today and do that as well. So we're glad that they're here and help to decorate the church. Are there any announcements for the good of the community that I'm not aware of? If not, then let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows us to celebrate this Sunday after Christmas, and we're celebrating Epiphany as well. So let us open our minds and hearts to the Spirit.
Good morning. Happy New Year and happy Epiphany. For those who are able, please join and stand and join me in the call to worship. There's the star in the sky. We follow the light. There's the light of the world. We follow the light. We are called to light the world ourselves. We shine in the darkness and live with the consequences of illumination. The day spring from on high breaks upon us. Joy comes with the morning. Thanks be to God. Let us worship our God.
Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. We confess, our God, how easy it is to make our way to church on Sunday morning, resisting the temptations of sleeping in, a breakfast out with the family, a lingering cup of coffee, and the paper. We confess, our God, how easy it is to make our way to church, bring our gifts to the altar, drop them off, maybe say some words of respect, a prayer, converse pleasantly with fellow congregants, and then go home and live life as we always have. We confess that to all appearance, we might honor you. We confess to knowing you are not all that interested in outward appearances. Forgive us and guide us into true commitment. This we pray, trusting in your steadfast love that forgives and hopes anew. Amen.
Hear the good news. God is righteous and just and forgives the iniquity of all who repent. Like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth, God's goodwill overflows towards us in the babe of Bethlehem. And through that child who is our risen Lord, we plead for forgiveness and claim for God's mercy and assurance of pardon. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading comes to us today from the major prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters, they shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God. Amen.
When the world was filled with the holy light, were you there to behold when the wonder foretold came to earth? Did you see how they the gift so rare that they chose to bring. Did you see how they bowed as they praised him aloud at his birth? Did you hear how the choirs of angels sang at the glory of the sight? Did you hear how the bells of heaven rang all through the night? Did you know it was God's own Son, the salvation of the world begun? Did you know it was love that was sent from above to the earth? Did you know it was love that was sent from above to the earth? Did you hear how the choirs of angels sang at the glory of the sight? Did you hear how the bells of heaven rang the night? Did you know it was God's own Son, the salvation of the world begun? Did you know it was love that was sent from above to the earth? Did you know it was love that was sent from above to the earth?
Thank you, Mark, and thanks to Kendra as well. She's providing our flute music today, the flautist. So she comes on Communion Sunday and plays during our distribution time. So I'm glad they're both here and to share their talents with us today. As I explained last week when I read the Matthew text, which happened to be after this text, because if it didn't fall, the people who put the lectionary together, I don't fully understand it, even though I've been reading it for 40 years, is that there's a sequence to things to be reminded. But today we're celebrating Epiphany, so the text for that day is this familiar text from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses, where we hear the coming of the Magi. So hear Matthew's words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born, King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." And then they quote the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A word about the Magi. They weren't always stargazers. I just want to share with you a little passage from a commentary that I was reading in the Communicator's Commentary. And Myron Augsburger writes, "It is believed that the Magi came from Persia and were a tribe of priests. Herodias says that the Magi were originally a tribe of Midians who had tried to overthrow the Persian Empire but failed and became among the Persians a priestly tribe, much like the Levites in Israel. These Magi became the teachers of the Persian kings and were skilled in philosophy and science. They were known as men of holiness and wisdom and were interpreters of dreams." And so these gentlemen, they had studied, and their discipline prepared them for the rising of this star that they saw that foretold the coming of this long-expected Savior and King. They dropped everything. They started their journey towards Bethlehem. And when they found Jesus, as we heard, they were overjoyed or overwhelmed with what they saw. They bowed down. They presented him with precious gifts. They worshiped him. And they left. And for all the acclaimed wisdom that they were to have as these highly educated individuals, their truly impressive foresight and be able to interpret what was going on in the world, their persistence, because if we historically figured out that was probably a 2 to 3 year journey for them when they saw the star till they finally found Jesus, and the generosity that they offered when they got there. But at the end of the day, they still didn't get it. They left. They had left gifts, but they didn't include the one gift that Jesus really wanted, and that's the gift of love. So they honored the Son of God, but there isn't any evidence that they loved the Son of God. They were excited to be in the presence of this king, of this babe lying in the manger or being held by Mary or however. But when they got there, reality was they were in a house. But whatever, this was just a child. And they didn't know what they would do with this. So they gifted Jesus, but they didn't feel a need to commit to him. An ongoing relationship beyond that meeting of them that day. I'm always amazed that philosophy and wisdom allowed them and led them to the star. They followed the star. But it didn't lead them to follow this light of the world, what we call the light of the world when we describe Jesus. That's one of the descriptors. The star led them to the manger, but couldn't make them eat and drink the bread of life, like we're going to do at communion today. It didn't get to that point. Historically, it says in another book I was looking at that 60 or 70 years later, they would journey forth again and they would go to Naples. And this time they went to Nero, the emperor, and they brought him gifts and they named him God. We don't hear that in the scripture, but that they did that again. I think moving forward to today, it is easier for us to acknowledge Jesus than it is to commit to Jesus. It's easier to be an admirer than it is to be a disciple. It's easier to acknowledge that God, to God that to stick around, but the implication, sometimes we forget that God is with us. That Emmanuel that we talk about during Advent and Christmas time, that God is here. And sometimes I find, this came up in a study group I was in some years ago, when we were talking about this text, and it talked about, but it was easier for us to raise questions about what was going on than it was to make affirmations of how we believed and why we responded and how we're here. It's easier for people to talk about church, whatever church is for you, than it is to talk about your relationship with God, which is why we're here. We're here because of our relationship with God. And it's easier to discuss prayer than it is to pray. And you notice that whenever people are together. Now, I notice this because I'm the minister. Marty, why don't you pray? Okay? I'm the paid guy. I'm supposed to pray. Anybody can pray. You don't have to be articulate or verbose or wordy or anything. You just be able to thank God. So everybody can do it. But it's easier to make excuses than it is to try to live the way Jesus has challenged us to live. So when I look at the story I just read to you from Matthew, the odd thing out, the person in this story that gets it is Herod. You know, sometimes we read about Herod, or at least what I've been reading and studying, that sometimes he's a pathetic, warped, frustrated old man and he's scared. But he's terrified by this news. He gets it. This is a threat to his hierarchy. He understands a little bit what's going on, and he's afraid of that. And he had a premonition, you know, that something was going to happen. So last week when I read you the slaughter of the innocents, that's what jarred that. He was afraid that something was going to take his ruling away. And he understood that there was no way for him to stay where he was going to be on top, to be in control. So he responded. And so out of all the people, he got the picture, the whole picture. And other people don't get it, and sometimes we still don't get it today. And the promise of Christ's reign was bringing in hope and peace that was going to be possible, that everyone would be able to live in a new way, to have a new relationship, Herod included. But Herod, like a lot of us, I just like the way it is right now. That's what Herod did. I like it. I like where it's happening. I like that I'm in charge. I can control. And he thought he was going to have to lose a lot if the world changed as he knew it. And so he was afraid. He was thinking more about wealth and power and money, and that he was going to lose those things. But he was holding on to physical things. And that's not why Jesus came. He was just looking at what was going to happen. And so when this baby was born, Herod was scared. So Herod, he represents power. Earthly power, political power, a power of armies and weapons. That's what Herod represents. And the Magi sort of rejected that kind of power. And they were looking for more. They were looking for knowledge and for wisdom. You know, and teaching. They weren't looking for those other things. They were looking for this more intellectual piece that was in their lives. And so you had two diverse things. You know, one is afraid, one is searching. But either one of those can only take you so far. So you had two different groups, two different human endeavors, one being afraid, one still searching and looking. And they didn't hear the news. You know, because we hear the angel comes and says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, good news, for unto you is born a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And the people still waited. And sometimes we still wait as well. We're looking for something. And sometimes we have to commit a little bit more than we do, because we get caught up in our everyday living. We all do that. Yesterday was a good example for me. I got here early because I wanted to be here to see the Robson family before, you know, the visitation started. Then we had the service. Then there was the reception. And then I was out with some people in the afternoon, got home in time to change my clothes and go over to my sister's to spend Christmas, got home at 11:30, and I said, I don't have my sermon done yet. And when I got home and walked in the door, I said, oh my God, it's 11:30, and I gotta wind this thing up, you know. But we get caught up in the moment, and I wasn't even thinking about what I wanted to say completely to you. We are always looking for something. And I think Jesus instills within us that there is something more. So we're looking for some peace. We're looking for some settledness. We're looking for something that's going to make us feel like we're connected heart, body, and soul. That we're not so distracted by what's going on in the world or in our personal lives, that we are still God's, and that God brought this gift of love to us this time of the year. And and I've said this in a couple sermons previously, that Jesus came to show us how God loves us. And so we get caught up in all the things as a pastor most of the day, and as family, and then later in the day, you get caught up in everything else that's going on, and you forget what's happening. The good news is that God did break into the world, has broken in, continues to break in, continues to come into our lives when we're open to it. But are we like the Magi, and do we just recognize it and move on, or do we accept the gift and commit that we're going to follow one who shows us how God loves us? That is the good news. So the Magi are just bringing us the news today to be able to say, hey, here is Jesus. He broke into the world. Time and place don't matter. 2,000 plus years don't matter. What matters is God is here with you and me right now. And we're going to honor that at the table later in the service to say, hey, this is the gift that we have been given. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 4 of our hymn, Wise Men That They Came to Look for Wisdom, number 234. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this morning, are there joys and or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith today? Flo Gray's still at Highland Springs, finishing up her PT regimen, so continue prayers for that. And Tim Kennedy, is he at Highland now?
St. E. Florence,
recovery from his hip surgery, running some tests. As I mentioned with the flowers this morning that were delivered late, but for Elizabeth Robson's funeral yesterday, continue to pray for that family. John had all his family present here, his daughter, his granddaughter, his sisters, and in-laws, and great support from the community as well. For all the different groups that they are part of, they all showed up and supported them. The other thing I think we need to remember today, this week, is that this is the week everybody goes back to school. Students of every age, from elementary to college. Then we also need to pray, since Kendra's here, we need to pray for teachers too, as well, because they have to get geared up for that. I don't know if she's been back in the classroom yet, but it is another, it's almost like another year. And so all those people are going back, the education process continues, and we need to continue to pray for all of them, as well as the things that are going on in the world, because sometimes we get so focused on the holiday and being with family and doing all of those things, but things still happen in the world, and so there are people that we need to be praying for elsewhere that may be without, and where violence and terror exists, and we need to pray for our service personnel wherever they're stationed, and to let them know in prayer that they are not being forgotten. So as we remember all these things, as we bring them before God this day, as well as those things that lay upon your hearts and your minds, let us focus ourselves a little bit as we come before God in prayer. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then releasing, and then breathe in, God, and then breathe out, and breathe in, God, and then breathe out, breathe in. Almighty God, we have gathered together to worship this day, to celebrate a new year in worship, to celebrate the visit of the Magi to your Son. We celebrate those times and events and remember in our journey of faith how important they are. But we as individuals and people are still the same people we were a week ago. And so we pray your presence to be with us, to remind us that we are forgiven and that we have your mercy and your grace, but most importantly, we have your love. So as we continue this journey in the season of Epiphany, when we are to remember that the gospel is for the whole world and for all people, let us begin with our own selves, that we can see that we are God's people and that God is with us. And we understand that sometimes we're not perfect and we fail, or we may have denied you in moments. So let us turn to you in repentance and in faith. And that as we gather together this day in worship and about the table, that we are renewed with your Spirit and your presence to go forth from this place. We pray, O God, for those situations and people that we have raised before you this day. As we remember them, there are others in similar situations that might be called to our remembrance. Be with those that could not worship with us this morning for whatever the reason. We ask your help for those who are weak, sick, and in need of your guidance and your presence, and in situations where they need to make decisions. But allow your Spirit to embrace us and to infuse us and to be with us as we worship, that we may take it out from this place this day, drawn together in the sharing of the meal that your Son provided for us, so that we might continue to see each one as brothers and sisters in the faith. But most of all, we thank you for the one that has brought us together, for the one that we follow and in whose name we pray, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The wealth of the nations has come to us. What are we doing with it? Prosperity is ours. How shall we share it? We are invited to join the Magi at the feet of Christ, offering whatever gifts are entrusted to us. Let us equip the church to make known the wisdom of God in its rich variety. The ushers may come forward.
Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Far away and long ago, the Magi brought Jesus gifts, valuable gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Here and now, we bring our gifts, valuable gifts, cash and checks, representing a portion of our allowances, our earnings. We offer our gifts, though, not only as signs of respect, of honor, but also as tokens of our commitment of selves. May we never offer our gifts as distinct from the gift of ourselves. This we pray in the name of the one who gave his all. Amen. Let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as we have printed in our bulletin. Together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. On the first day of the week, Jesus was made known to two of the disciples in the breaking of the bread. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women, youth and children, gather from the east, the west, the north, and the south to gather about the table of the Lord. This table is for all who wish to receive the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. So let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who is the creator and the sovereign of the universe. You are our light and our salvation. And before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. Truly holy are you, O God, in the fullness of time you revealed yourself in your blessed Son, Jesus the Christ, who is the light of the world. Through him we are saved and baptized into your service. You sent a star to guide the wise men to where the Christ was born. And your signs and witnesses in every age and throughout all the world have led persons from all far distances to him. In his baptism and in his table fellowship, he identified with sinners. He preached good news to the poor, proclaimed release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free the oppressed, and announced that the time had come when you would save your people. On the night that Jesus sat at that table with the disciples in the upper room, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks to God, he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. And after he had given thanks to God, He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, O God. His presence has continued with his people as they have been baptized into him and in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup that's done in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we who in past years have been baptized into the death and the resurrection of Christ now offer ourselves to you anew in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts. Then in the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, we may in the presence of the living Christ be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, looking forward to his coming and final victory. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all things are now ready. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. This cup is the new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. My friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand as we join together in our prayer of thanksgiving and stay standing for our closing hymn. And we pray together saying, O God, by coming to your table, we receive more gifts than we deserve. We give thanks for Jesus Christ, whose birth we anticipate this Advent season, and through whom we receive life, and in whom we are bound in covenant. Renew us so we may willingly serve as Christ served. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Today we celebrate Epiphany, and we honor the Magi coming to honor Jesus that day. And as I try to challenge you, it's not just about the commitment for the day, it's the commitment for our life, that we are followers of Jesus, the follower of the Christ. And the good news is to share that with others. However we do that, whether it's in conversation over coffee, or whether it's coming to church, or whether it's in the grocery line, or however we share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. Continue to be faithful. We'll join together when we can. But next week we'll be here. Hope to see you then. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.